Well, Queens, welcome back to the Body Love Binge. I have Sabrina with me again today. Those of you who don't know Sabrina, I'll let her introduce herself. So, Sabrina, welcome back to the Body Love Binge.
Thanks for having me, and welcome back to the Live Unrestricted podcast as well. So this is really exciting. Victoria and I have both been on each other's podcast, and my listeners absolutely loved your episode, Victoria. And I'm so happy to have you back, and I'm excited to be back on your podcast. So I'm gonna go and introduce myself to your listeners, and I'm sure that my listeners know me a little bit, but I'm Sabrina Magna. I'm an intuitive eating and food freedom coach, and I help chronic dieters heal their relationship with food and their bodies so that they can finally live their real authentic life and feel free from the guilt and the shame. And the reason why I do that is very similar to you because I have my own history with eating disorders and body dysmorphia and exercise addiction and all the things. And I knew that I needed to make it my mission to help others find freedom from that.
Yeah, our stories are so similar, aren't they? So I will introduce myself to your listeners who don't know me. I'm Victoria Kleinsman, also a food freedom and body love coach. And my mission is to bring millions of women back home to self-love and intuition eating, which includes intuition living, all of it. And similar to Sabrina, the reason I do what I do is because having overcome myself, anorexia, bulimia, binge eating, abuse, the way I feel now and how I feel in my body, the relationship I have with food, I want you to have that as well. And I can guide you to your own version of what I have. So it's an honor to do what I do. And I know we both adore what we do, including the podcast. So grateful to be here with you, Sabrina.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we could reconnect. And Victoria and I have been in the talks for a couple of months now. And basically, what we're going to do today is we're going to answer some listener questions because we have very similar audiences. And we polled our audiences on Instagram and asked, what are some of the burning questions that you would like answered? And so that's what we're going to do here today is jump off of one another and hear what you, how you would answer some of these questions and then kind of give some of our feedback as well.
Yeah. Okay. So shall we dive straight in?
Let's do it.
Okay. So this question, well, is for you, it's for both of us, but I'm going to ask you. And then, of course, I can piggyback off the back of that. What's the difference between semi-recovered and full recovered?
Oh, good question. So I would say that semi-recovered is when you're still being pulled back into old behaviors. So I know that for me, I did my own recovery all on my own. I didn't really have any support. And I know that for years, I would make, a little bit of progress. And then when times are hard, when things were stressful or out of my control, I would kind of fall back into some of my old behaviors as a mean to control. So I would maybe start counting calories again, and I would let some of those restrictive thoughts win. And so when I'm thinking of semi-recovered, I would say falling back into some of those old behaviors and giving into some of those thoughts. Whereas fully recovered, what I always explain to any time I'm on a podcast and someone asks me, like, do you still have restrictive thoughts or any of the mindsets that you had when you had an eating disorder? And I'm fully honest in saying that those thoughts never fully go away, but the difference is that you're able to recognize those thoughts and you're able to reframe immediately. You don't give in to them. Obviously, you're still gonna have bad body image days, but you don't let those bad body image days ruin your day, ruin your mood, or affect the way that you live your life. So fully recovered is being able to acknowledge that you might still have those thoughts that pop up from time to time, but not falling into those old behaviors.
Yeah, my take on that is very similar. So I love your take on semi-recovered, and I completely agree. I would add to, for me, when I was semi-recovered, I was like micro restricting. So I was able to live my life. It wasn't kind of the eating disorder wasn't affecting my life in such a negative way as it was before. However, I would still have little food rules like, well, I can eat as much chocolate as I want, but only on a Wednesday and a Saturday. Or, I can have this as much as I want, but actually, I'm going to just try and have one plate. So it was kind of a more of a mix between food freedom, which wasn't complete true food freedom. I think the key here is like little rules that are there, but it doesn't affect your life in a negative way like it did before. And I think semi-recovered, it's a really difficult place to be. And unfortunately, loads of people stay in, what do you call it, quasi-casey recovery, semi-recovered. And I'm like, why would you not go the full way and be fully recovered if you've come so far? And some people that are in semi-recovery, they look healthy, they look recovered because perhaps they've weight restored and perhaps they're not doing the as obsessive behaviors as they did before. And people around them think they're fine, but they might still be struggling mentally with some food rules and a lot of body image stuff. So I think it's similar to you and the fact that there might be some rules there and you're not truly free in your body.
So you brought up an interesting point, which I think might be the key determinant of what makes the difference and is the relationship that you have with your body. Yeah. I feel like that when you're semi-recovered, there is still that need to control your body. So you might still be able to eat certain foods as long as you're within a certain range of what you think is acceptable for your weight. And I think that when you're able to fully, because I was, when you were talking, I was like, I wonder what would be the difference between someone who is semi-recovered taking that extra mile. And I think it's really being able to accept whatever might happen to your body when you start truly experiencing food freedom. And again, it's important to delineate that food freedom does not mean you eat whatever you want, whenever you want, with no regards for health, but it's accepting that you may fall at a set point weight that is higher than what your mind deems as reasonable and acceptable. I know, at least for me, being able to just let go and let my body do what it needs to do and see my hips get wider and see my thighs get bigger and allow myself to just grow into my body, that's what helped me get to full recovery.
Boom, hit the nail on the head there. It's the point for me came when I really truly not only intellectually understood but really felt and knew that I can't control my body unless I live with a restrictive eating disorder for the rest of my life. Whether it's semi-restricted or whatever, it's still restriction. So when I understood that fully and also learned about the set point, so your body fights to stay within your set point both ways. So if you restrict and lose weight, it will fight to bring it back up. If for some reason you eat past fullness a lot of the time, emotionally eat a lot of the time, which is also fine, but you're eating more than your body wants, your body will also fight to lose that weight too, to be where it wants to be. So when I truly understood and actually saw that as evidential in my life, I was then able to completely surrender. I actually do eat what I want when I want, and the health thing came later. So it's natural for me now. I choose with nourishment and pleasure. So I want to talk about that actually as well. But true food freedom for me, like you've said, is just fully accepting what your body is without trying to control your body in any way. And then automatically you eat freely. There's no food rules. You can eat from a position of health and feeling because your body does what your body needs to do anyway. And so that place to be at is so freeing. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that both of us are there and then teaching women to get to where we are.
Absolutely. And I think this is an amazing place to segue into one of the questions that I got from one of my listeners, which has to do with allowing our bodies to do what it needs to do. So this was one of the questions: how to be okay gaining weight in a society where being thin is more accepted and feels safer?
Yes, great question. And I love that she's addressed the truth, because I always like to address the elephant in the room, which is fear of weight gain when anyone starts a recovery journey. And it's about being honest about the world we live in. Let's not pretend that thin people, people who meet societal ideals, they do get treated differently, and it's fucked up and it's not okay, but it still happens. And so I would ask this person, in particular asking this question, although of course this is going to help so many people who have the same question: what do you want more? Do you want to suppress your body size in an attempt for strangers and other people to treat you better? Or do you want to live as your true authentic self in your natural authentic body, free from any disordered eating and restriction, with self-love And also get support from any backlash that you might get in society. Because it's interesting that we attract what we believe about ourselves. So when we come back home to self-love and we know our worth and we value our value, the world also treats us differently. Of course, you know, some people who do recover in a very large body, they're going to get, well, not always, but they most likely will get some societal judgment. But then because you've done the inner work and you love and accept yourself, it doesn't hurt in the same way. And I speak from my own experience, obviously being in a medium-sized body, but I've coached a lot of women in larger bodies too. But it doesn't hurt the same way as it did when you were perhaps restricting in a large body anyway, hating yourself and your body, and then the world mirroring that back to you.
Yes. Absolutely. And I would add to that, that, and I think that's such a good response. And I would add to that, that you are the person who you're going to spend the most time with. And you spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with yourself. And so if that safety and that feeling of acceptance doesn't come from within first, then those people outside of you, of course, they're going to have a bigger impact. Of course, they're going to have more of an influence because you're going to be agreeing with them. If you're agreeing with what people are saying, then you're against yourself along with everyone else. So it's starting almost to learn how to stand in your own self-love and stand in your own conviction so that when someone does say something, you're able to internally know that that's not true. Know that it's not true that you're not acceptable or that you're not worthy of respect and of love. So being able to first work on how you view yourself and how you think about yourself so that other people's opinions, I always use this example. If you're walking on the street and someone who seems a little out of it, right? Maybe they're just yelling at a bunch of people on the street and they start yelling profanities at you. You're probably not gonna take that opinion to heart. You're not gonna go home and think about that random stranger who is yelling at everyone who yelled at you too. You're not gonna take it to heart. And it's the opinion of other people, you take it to heart when you start to give it weight and you think that it's true or you agree with them. So being able to look at how much weight you actually want to give to other people's opinions, because you get to decide what gets in and what doesn't.
Yeah, exactly that. And also the person judging a bigger person, it says more about that person, of course, judging than it does. It's not actually about you. It's about the person that's judging. It's about them. And I know that can be confusing sometimes, but if you think of the way we judge, because we're humans, we judge everything all the time. We don't have to say it out loud, but when we judge, that's a reflection on us, not on the thing that we're judging. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, like you've said, once you love yourself, their opinions don't matter because you know that's all about them and not about you. And recovery is so worth it. It really, really is.
Yeah, I'm just gonna add one last thing. And one thing that really helped me when I was working on my body image, I remember I was working at a restaurant at the time. And at a restaurant, you see all kinds of different bodies. Mm-hmm. And I had to be brutally honest with myself to realize that I had a lot of internalized fat phobia and weight bias. And so if you're internalizing that, then of course, when you start seeing your body change, you're gonna feel resentment or you're gonna feel shame. So the first thing that I had to do was, it was harder to do it for myself. It was harder to be compassionate with myself. It's much easier to do it with other people. So when I would notice people coming into the restaurant in a bigger body, or I would notice people at the gym or going for a walk, and I would hear my old conditioning, right? And that's something I don't feel embarrassed talking about, it because a lot of us have that conditioning. We grow up with this certain bias against certain bodies. And so I had that as well. The way that I was raised had that as well. And so I started noticing those old thoughts. And in the moment, I would reframe. In the moment, I would change my perspective and I would start having compassion and I would start seeing it as, I don't know their story. I don't know what they're going through. I don't know what their health is like. And so if you're able to start doing that with other people first, it might be easier, because it's easier for us to show compassion towards others than it is for ourselves.
Yeah, agree. Because the whole world is a mirror, isn't it? So of course we're going to judge other people if we're judging ourselves. You can't, those that say, I never judge anyone on the basis of size, yet they've come to me for coaching and they hate their medium sized body. I lovingly call bullshit on that. They might not want to admit that. There's nothing wrong with that, but everything's a mirror. Of course you do. But when you heal and love and accept yourself and do the work to love and accept others, it's like its own again. It's a mirror. They both heal and change together.
Absolutely.
All right, Sabrina, let's see. Next question. Okay, this is very, very similar, but I'm going to ask it you anyway, because I think this might be a more personal take on how you dealt with this. How do you overcome the fear of weight gain?
Okay, so I first noticed, and these are thoughts that as I've been recovering, my body is constantly changing, right? So during the winter, my body changes. During the summer, my body changes. And at all those stages in life, like I said, there's going to be some of that old conditioning that will pop back up. And I know, especially as I was first doing the work, because I did get to a point where I was underweight and I thought that that was my normal weight. And I actually had to gain weight and move into my set point weight that feels good for me and that is healthy for me. I had to evaluate what fears I had around me gaining weight and what beliefs my brain was creating, what stories my brain was creating around me gaining weight. So one thing, I had this identity of the healthy friend. I was the one who was always eating low carb or eating salads and eating the healthy foods around people. And then of course I would go home and I would binge when no one would see. I was the one who would go to the gym at 6 a.m. And so I had this identity. And because of this identity, I thought that everyone loved me because that's who I was. Mm-hmm. Everyone loved me because I was disciplined, I was motivated, and that was part of who I was. I ran half marathons. And so when I started working on my relationship with food and with my body, that fear came up that no one is going to think you're as impressive. Mm. No one's going to love you as much. No one's going to respect you if you gain weight, because it's, you're going to be a completely different person. And I had to challenge those thoughts. And a lot of the times when we're challenging those thoughts, this is what I always encourage my clients to do, is to find evidence in your life to prove the opposite. So what I noticed as I was gaining weight is that actually people loved me more because I was stepping into who I was. I was no longer isolating myself and feeling like I needed to control everything. I was no longer super structured and disciplined and not wanting to go out to dinner. When you allow yourself to have food and body freedom, you really embody freedom. You show up differently, you're lighter, you care about people more because you're not in your head so much. My friendships got better because I got better at telling people I love them. I got better at letting people in. And so challenging what thoughts and what fears you're having about gaining weight and finding evidence in your life to prove these new thoughts that people might actually love you more and that you might actually have a much more amazing and beautiful life than you ever thought possible. So looking at what is possible instead of letting those fears, and that's just your brain trying to keep you safe. Mm-hmm. It really is. Like our brain, we love our brains, but they really, it can do some crazy things in order to keep us safe and in our comfort zone. And a lot of that is going to be reflected in the form of fear. So finding out, write down, like take out your piece of paper and write down all the fears that you're having about gaining weight, and then go to court and ask yourself, is this true? Is it true that this is going to happen? What evidence do I have that this is going to happen? And what might happen instead?
Yes. Boom. That's exactly what I do as well. And I share with my clients and invite them to do. And a similar way, just said in a different way, I ask, well, I'll talk about myself. I asked myself, how would my life actually be different if I did gain weight? And so I guess it's just a similar, just a different way of asking it. So when I actually got my journal out and got my pen and tried to answer that question, how would my life actually be different? There was nothing that came through. And then I asked, okay, this was all through this journaling that I invite everybody to do. If I gained weight, this means, again, similar to what you've said, with the stories, what stories are you creating around what weight gain means to you? And then if I lost weight, then this means, so I'd find the opposite. And then when I lost, said I would lose weight, I would feel more confident, more loved, more attractive. And then I would look at that list and be like, why can't I? Because it's always a feeling we're after, not the actual thing. We want weight loss because it's going to bring us a feeling. So how can I feel those things in the body I have, or even in a bigger body if my body needs to gain weight? Because you can actually access and live and feel the feelings you want or have been trying to seek through weight loss. And for me also, this did root back to childhood trauma a lot. Like I was, through all my therapy work, I discovered that I was addicted to validation, adoration, excitement, and pleasure. And I was trying to find those in manipulating my body and wanting the validation and all of that. So it does run quite deep, but ultimately it's just conditioning. It's just a story that we're telling ourselves. And when you have the right support of someone that can allow you to feel all of the shame, there's a shitload of shame around body image, right? Mm-hmm. When we're able to access that shame and talk about it and feel it and be held in that space to feel, we can then choose a new story. And then this was my favorite thing to say, I've gained weight, and like you said, what else have I gained? Like freedom to just go out with my friends, freedom to be my true authentic self. So ultimately, to wrap this question up, which wasn't even my question, it was the question for you, it's what do you want more? Do you want to try and keep your body small for the rest of your life by restricting? Or do you want to find out and get to meet the true authentic you in every regard, including your body, and embrace and love that? Because both are hard, but only one is worth it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And I just want to highlight what you said, because I think it's really important and people need to grasp this, is that you're after a feeling. Mm-hmm. Whenever you're chasing any kind of goal, right? I want to buy the house. I want to get married. I want to have the job. I want to have the body. We're never chasing the thing. We're chasing what we think the thing is going to give us. And so you can actually evaluate, what do you think that a smaller body would give you and would make you feel? Maybe confidence, maybe worthy, maybe love, maybe happiness. And then I know that a lot of your clients can probably relate to this as well, because it's a very common experience. Reflect on the times where you did lose weight and reflect on how you felt at that lower weight. And I know for me, whenever, like in the past, as I was recovering, I would have those thoughts of like, oh, maybe I would lose weight again. And then I would think back of what would it take for me to get there? And how did I actually feel in that smaller body? Did I feel happier? Did I feel more confident? Did I feel more loving? And the funny thing is that I hated my body more. I felt more rejecting of my body when I was at the smallest that I ever have been than I am now. And that is enough evidence to show me that body image lives in your mind. It doesn't live in what you see in the mirror or what you see in the number on the scale.
Absolutely. And I've heard of like so many people share that before. And my experience with that is when I was in the anorexia, I didn't like my body at all. But I think that's a little bit different to when I was doing the fitness modeling. And I did like my body. And I, of course, it was never good enough. I always wanted to grow my glutes or grow my shoulders or blah, blah, blah. But I did like my body overall. However, the cost of me, quote, liking my body because it was all surface level stuff, I didn't love myself, it came at the biggest cost that in the end, I was not willing to keep up. So of course, that laxative addiction, exercise addiction, self-abuse in terms of like the way I was talking to myself, obsessions, missing out on so much because I had to do the gym at this time and I had to go to the toilet at this time and all these weird OCD ED things I would have. Even though I did like my body, it wasn't worth it to me anymore. And Who actually cares? In the nicest possible way, no one actually cares what your body looks like apart from you. So even if you have a partner who is the right person for you, they will find you attractive, but they don't actually care about what your body actually looks like. The person walking down the street, if you're in a societal ideal body, they might look for 1 second and think, wow, her body is amazing, and they'll get on with their day. They're not thinking about you for the whole rest of the day. Like, no one actually cares. So is it worth it? Everything you are doing to try and be smaller, is it actually worth it?
There's this one saying or this story that I heard a couple of months ago, and it's kind of sad, but it's also really freeing. And it's the notion that at your funeral, people are going to come. People who you love are going to come. And they're going to say nice things about you. And people who you really care about might grieve you for a couple of weeks. But a lot of the people who are going to come are going to come. And then they're going to go home and they're going to pick up their kids from soccer practice. And they're going to start making meals. And we're not going to be thinking about you much time after you're gone. And so these people whose opinion you give so much weight to, when you're gone, they're not going to be thinking about what the size of your jeans were or what number you had on the scale. And although it could be sad to think I'm going to be gone and I'm going to be forgotten, it can also be really freeing, because if that's the case, then who cares whose opinion matters except for yourself? You're going to be the most important person in your life. You are the main character of your life. Act like it.
Yes. And I choose freedom every goddamn time.
Yeah.
I know what it's like to live in prison mentally, physically from the abuse, but that's a different story. And within my body, no, I'm not going back there. We're here to live now. In 100 years, 200 years, everyone would have died that knew you, like you said. So live now, eat the cake. Yeah. What's that? You know, those incredible poems. I have a book somewhere by Donna Ashworth. Yeah, Donna Ashworth, I Wish I Knew. Those poems, like when you read one a day, brings you right back around what really truly matters, and live now.
Yeah. So Victoria, what do you say we wrap this up and do a part two so that this doesn't go into a hour long episode? And I know that you still got some questions. I still have some questions. So we can wrap this up and do a part two of this episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Fine with that. So listeners, bring the questions to me or Sabrina. We have some left for part two, but we've got room for more. So let us know what you think and tag us, share your stories. We'll tag you, we'll repost. And thank you so much for your support.
Amazing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you for part two.
Bye-bye.